This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
How important is preaching in the church today? What can you expect when you come to church on a Sunday morning? These are good questions that the laity and the clergy both should ask, and so we're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you have given to us your inspired word. That word through which the Holy Spirit speaks to us, creating within our souls faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That word that is our only authority in all matters of faith and life. That word that promises to us that there is a heavenly home awaiting us when we leave this world, and there we will find guidance and strength while we walk here on this earth. God, we pray that we may hear your voice today in this half hour. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars the kind used by Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till last." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, one of my Christmas presents this year was a book edited by Haddon Robinson and Craig Bryan, two of the great preachers in America today. This book deals with the importance of preaching, and I'm having some refreshing moments reading through it. One of the writers in the book, because it's a compilation of many, many articles, is John Stott. John Stott, one of England's greatest preachers of this generation, writes this: "The decadent era of church history has always been those in which the preaching has declined. Not only the preaching of the word, but the listening to the word have both declined. A congregation," now listen, Stott is saying this, "a congregation cannot mature without a faithful and sensitive biblical ministry. Response to the word of God depends on the content of the word that has been spoken." In another quote from this book, I read, "The preacher's task is to expound the scriptures. That is, to open up the inspired text with such faithfulness and sensitivity that God's word is heard and his people obey him." Reading this book, I have been forced to examine my own preaching. And certainly sometimes that is a very, very cruel thing to have to do to yourself. But the point is this: when the people go to church today, or when they turn on their radio or television, God has a word He wants them to hear. God wants His word ringing in the ears of your body, your heart. He wants you to know what He's got in store for you. That word that God wants you to have is found in the Bible. Now, the central message of salvation is very clear in the Bible. It doesn't take any interpretation. It is not something that contradicts itself. But the central message of the Bible is that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. The little child can begin to comprehend this. Jesus came to this world, and He suffered, and He died, and He loves me, and He's mine. But not everything in the Scripture is clear. For example, Peter has a very astounding verse in his second letter, chapter 3, verse 16, when he says, "There were things in Paul's letters that I did not understand." So if Peter couldn't understand everything that Paul was saying, would I not be arrogant if I could say that I could understand everything that Paul is saying? What is being brought out here is that we need people, primarily pastors and teachers, who have taken years out and have been trained in theology to expound both the plain message and those that needed study. Now, I can hear somebody say, "Well, I get more out of it when a poor layman who really trusts Jesus Christ preaches than one who has been theologically trained and has all kinds of questions about the authority of the Scripture." We need to believe that God speaks in His Word. We definitely need to understand, and certainly no preacher should ascend the pulpit, I don't think, unless he really has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and believes that the Bible that he is preaching is the inspired Word of God. He is not perfect. He is a sinner in many, many ways. But he must have this conviction that Jesus is my Savior. He must live in a personal relationship with Christ. That is the responsibility for a church to see that he or she is in that relationship with the Lord. But when we have said all that, the person also needs a good theological education. Here some time ago, I was visiting with a man who preaches every Sunday, and his church was doing fairly well. And so I said to him, "Where did you go to seminary?" And almost with a spirit of pride, he said, "I've never been inside the doors of a seminary, nor do I ever intend to." It was as much as to say, "I know it all. I understand all that I need to understand." Well, Peter didn't feel that way, I don't think. And many of the greatest expounders of the Word do not feel that way. We need to humbly come before the Word of God. We need one another to help us understand these passages that are not so plain. We need to read the best books that we can find, the good commentaries, and benefit from the brilliant minds whom God has called to that particular profession. Now then, let's take a look briefly at the text that is ours today. It's a story of Jesus changing water into wine. You remember that story? You learned it when you were in Sunday school? It happened in a place called Cana of Galilee, and Cana was not very far from where Jesus had lived in Nazareth. And so they had some friends there probably, and they got an invitation to the wedding. And John in his gospel said Mary was there. Doesn't say anything about Joseph. Maybe he had died by that time. And besides Mary, the disciples had come along with Jesus. And so he is standing there when Mary comes over kind of in a dithy, I think, and probably said to Jesus, they've run out of wine. In our day, they've run out of coffee. Go to the grocery store and get some. But not so in that day. They've run out of wine. And he looks at her and he says, my time has not yet come. I often have wondered what that meant. And so Mary says to the servants who are there, do what he tells you. And so Jesus said to the servants, there are 6 stone water jars here, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Go fill them up. And they filled up the jars and brought them back to him. And he took some and said, now take some of this wine to the master of the banquet. And when that man began to taste the wine, he said, where did it come from? At a wedding, you usually serve the best wine first. And then as the party goes on, you can probably use the other wine that is not of that taste. Well, those who were the servants knew that Jesus had changed the water into wine. And you can be sure that that got out over the crowd. We were out of wine, and there's Jesus over there, lives 5 miles down the road, and he changed water into wine. Who is that man anyway? In other words, the purpose of this miracle is to reveal to the people that he is a divine Son of God. It says here in verse 11 of our text, now as you open up this text, and there are a lot of little things that you could talk about for a long time, but this is the primary word. This is the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. In other words, what God wants the people in Cana to know is that this Jesus is far more than just a human being. He is a God-man. You see, we hardly know anything about Jesus from the time he is born in Bethlehem's manger until he's ready to perform his ministry. And so now Jesus has got to make that very clear to them. I am who I am. God has sent me to be the Messiah, to be the Savior of the world, to be the one who can bring you into a living personal relationship with God. You remember last week in the sermon, if you happened to listen, it was at his baptism that God spoke out of the heavens, Mark 1:11. And it says, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And when the people went home from that service that day, they had had a message. God had spoken, and they had said that Jesus was God's son. Man, if we could go home with that today from our churches, reaffirmed in that faith. This Jesus is God. He is the one who has come into this world to be my Redeemer. And so in Cana that happened, and we're praying today that around the world, as the gospel is being preached, there are those people who are going to say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. What does this say to us? It says that the preacher's task is to open up the inspired text that God's word is heard. Then to make it clear, we have to find out what God wants for us from that text. And you know what that is today? You know the message that God has for you through that text today? It is this, that God can not only change water into wine, but God can change believers, can change people from being unbelievers to believers. God can take a person who is not in relationship with him and make him a Christian, and he can live in a personal relationship with God. God has sent Jesus. Jesus can do the miraculous. He could do the miraculous in Cana of Galilee, and he can do the miraculous today, wherever you are. He can change you. He can change me. St. Paul had experienced this change that God had brought to him. And what is it, he writes? If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In other words, you and I can become new people. Isn't that marvelous, friend? We can be new people because God can change us. I cannot change myself. I simply cannot change myself. I am that much of a sinner. But I can be changed by God. A young man, first year in college, was one day asked by a friend, "Do you believe that God can work miracles?" "Yes, I do." The questioner got more specific and he said, "Do you believe that Jesus could change water into wine?" And the young man said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "On what basis, now as a college student, could you believe anything like that?" "Well," he said, "first, I believe the Bible is the Word of God and it's found in the Word of God, so it must be true. But if you want a more practical, if you want to call it that, example, I'll tell you. Jesus changed water into wine in Cana of Galilee. And Jesus changed whiskey into food and furniture in my home when I was a little boy. My father was a drunkard, and all of his money went to his habit. But when God got a hold of him in Jesus Christ, he changed him. And he began to take care of his family." How, friend? Very, very simple. Jesus changes us through his word. That means that we live with God in his word. St. Paul writes in the 10th chapter of Romans, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God." Live in your Bible and begin to see the changes that God will work there. Jesus' words to the people in Cana, "Look around and see how the water was changed to wine." Jesus' words to us is, "Look around and see how many people have been changed by the power of my word. And what has happened to others can happen to you. And the changes will continue to come forth until finally we breathe our last." This is the Christ who works changes. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you that you have left us with a living hope, that you are the one who can actually work changes in our lives. To see some of those things taken out of our lives that we do not like to have there, that you can take unbelievers and make them believers, and you can take believers and make them sanctified believers. For, O God, who of us would not have to say, there are so many things that we would like to have changed in our lives. Grant that we may understand that you are the one who can work these changes. Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. We are thankful for your prayerful and financial support, which enables us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your gifts enable us to buy time on 18 radio stations in 9 states across the country and worldwide on the internet. Send your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Reverend Larson, as well as other interesting information concerning Christian Crusaders. The upcoming issue is centered on the theme of discipleship. To receive this special mailing, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.